Good morning. Isn't it good to be together? This way and this way. Priceless. Precious. Takes me back to my childhood. Judy, you're a preacher's kid. You remember those times? The Lord's presence was so near, you never wanted to leave. You never wanted to leave. So good to greet you. Up in this section, some of you owe me some serious hugs. I didn't make it up there. I ran out of songs. I'm going to get a signal, so until I'm done hugging, I'm just going to go like this to Nate to keep singing. Is that all right? Yeah. Well, today we're in part two of what was to be a four-week series, but now this is the fifth, called I Believe. And it's based upon the Apostles' Creed. And I did you just a little teach-out last week because some of us think we know. I was remembering when we started this series about Michael W. Smith's songs, Ancient Words, Ever True. And so we've tried to find the most distant version, the most ancient words we could ever find. And I'm not sure we should be messing with ancient words. How about you? Ancient words ever true. And then it goes, changing me, changing you. So there's power in these words that we're going to declare. And my concern is that whether we're praying the Lord's Prayer or whether we're saying the Apostles' Creed, we can do it so much it can be just automatic, but this is a passionate statement of belief. I'm working up to the slides. You're way ahead of me. You're figuring me out. It's taken 30-some years, but I'm difficult for sure. But so today I'm going to invite us to stand again, and I want us to say these. But from our heart, and as we've been doing, we're reading it with passion, with some emphasis, okay?
Ignore me.
That's right. I've done that many times in your life. He said, ignore him. Ignore him. Thank you. Thank you very much. So if you can, again, if you care to, but don't say it if you don't believe it. Don't say it if you don't mean it. But if you do, let's stand together and let's recite line by line, and then we'll dive into the last section, part two of the Holy Spirit. Here we go. All right, out loud. Wow, strong words. Start, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Some of you have stumbled over the word Catholic. That is small c. It's not a religion. That is the church universal, fellowshipping communion of saints with believers now and around the globe and throughout history. I believe. That's how we start. I probably could have just done a message on I believe. Maybe I'll go another week. That really messed things up, wouldn't it? Our schedule, our preaching schedule. What a powerful statement. Do you know when you recite this from your heart and you mean it? This is your identity. This is about who you are as God's child. That's why it's so powerful. A powerful statement. For thousands of years, people have staked their lives on this belief that Jesus Christ is real. I believe. That's a faith statement, to be sure. In my devotions this morning, and some of you do something similar to I was struck by a quote that they credited to Gandhi, but listen to what he says, and this belief. I told you a few weeks ago about the belief Elizabeth Elliot said, basically, what you believe is about who you are and what you become, who you are. That's paraphrase. But here's what he said. Your beliefs become your thoughts. I'm sure you've read it before, many of you. Your thoughts become your words. Your words become your actions. Your actions become your habits. Your habits become your values. Your values become your destiny. But where did all that start? I believe. And I guess that's what I've been trying to ring the bell and rattle the cage about in this series. What do you really believe? Not just in your head, but heart, that you could stake your life upon. So last week, at the end of the message, we who are believers by choice, by invitation and by choice, professors and possessors of a personal relationship with Jesus, we made this bold declaration together, and it went something like this: I believe in the Holy Spirit. He is living in me, working on me, and moving through me. Would you repeat those lines after me? I'll feed them to you. I believe in the Holy Spirit. He is living in me. He is working on me. Nudge your spouse and say, I'm so glad he is. And thirdly, he is moving through me. And that's what we want to focus on really a little while today, that he's moving through me. In other words, he's not done. So it's truth. It's foundational. It's powerful. And make no mistake that choosing to believe is an initial step of faith. Belief is a choice. Every time you say, I believe, it is a statement of your faith. It's a statement of your identity in Christ, who and whose you are. Today, we need to take another step yet beyond believing, though that's powerful. Because here's the reality when it comes to the work of the Holy Spirit that's often misunderstood, and the Trinity is all over the Apostles' Creed, obviously. It's possible to believe in the Holy Spirit, and if you've said yes to Jesus, to have the Holy Spirit in you, because God doesn't work in parcels and parts. When Jesus comes in, the Holy Spirit is in you as well. But it's possible to have the Holy Spirit in you and yet not keep in step with him on a daily basis. And I want to tell you, that doesn't lead to anywhere good. It causes trouble in the long run. So here's the question today. If the Holy Spirit is in me, living in me, Pastor said, working on me, moving through me, what does this walk with him look like every day on a daily basis? And that's what I want to try to address in these minutes that I have. I was thinking this morning, and maybe this sounds a little crazy to you, but if he's in us, we're not alone, then he's with us wherever we go, then wherever you've been this weekend, you've taken the Holy Spirit for a walk. I mean, I know that's simple, but my mind works in simple ways. He's that gyroscope within you that gives direction constantly and keeps us balanced. Could I just say emphatically that the Christian life, the relationship, does not begin and end with receiving the Holy Spirit. That's not the end of the story any more than receiving salvation through Jesus is the end. That's the beginning. That's a transition point. It's also about daily living and walking with the Spirit who is living in you. That'll put a spring in your step. That'll help you to recognize this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. I can't wait to see what the Holy Spirit wants to do, where he wants to take me today. And so we're going to Galatians, a few verses there, and I'll start with verse 16 of chapter 5. And here we read, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then, if you do, as you do, you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. That's a way to put that baby to death, to starve it. The word guide in this scripture can also be in the context of a walk or a journey, and that's what we need to look at this life in the Spirit is all about. Salvation and sanctification, holy purity that we walk in, that's about a journey. The Holy Spirit, if you will, becomes our internal tour guide. We walk by the Spirit, we live by the Spirit, and we keep step with the Spirit. That's our goal. That's our prayer as we begin every day, the gift of every day. So I just want to walk you through a few points of this progression, and I pray that something will stick in your heart and mind today. Let's go back to Galatians 5, and I'll read verse 16 again and then a couple more verses, and we'll be referring to this text. So I say, I don't think it's passive. I think that's an emphatic statement. I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. And I wonder if behind it is like, why wouldn't you do that if he's living in you? Why would you fight the Holy Spirit for control? Yeah. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil. Man, this hits it between the eyes today, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. And these two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. And some of you wouldn't say it out loud, but inside you're going, amen, amen, that's me. What in the world do we do about it? Is that the end? Is that the end? No. What an accurate picture of life and the struggles that this represents. Romans speaks to that as well. I won't go there, but familiar passage as well. Sometimes a battle seems to be raging inside of you, and the flesh pulling one way and the Spirit pulls another. Your want to and your feel like it are in battle, like I often say. The want to is on the Spirit side. The feel like it can be on the flesh side. That tug of war, if you will. And sometimes that tension, has anybody ever done tug of war at a camp? I mean, it starts out so robust, but man, when you tug for a while, you get weary and you eventually either crash and fall or let go. And sometimes that tension, that tug of war can discourage you and just flat wear you out. And that's where some of you are today. And some of you are about ready to give up. No, I don't care how far you are from a breakthrough. You've never been closer to the breakthrough than you are today, right now. Remember Easter weekend? It may be a Saturday, but you've never been closer to the Sunday than you are right now today. Don't stop. Don't quit. Please hear me clearly. The presence of a struggle within does not mean necessarily that you're failing or you're falling. Don't give up. It means that there is spiritual life and sensitivity in you because, by the way, it's not an excuse, it's a reality. I don't care how spiritual you are and how Holy Spirit filled you are and how saved you are, you never get over being human, first of all. You never check out of your humanity. Jesus didn't, did he? Fully God, fully man. We're in good company. The Bible said, what happened to Jesus in the wilderness? He was what? Tempted. How could God be tempted? Because there was a human, fully human side. And he was hungry, and he was thirsty, etc., all. Walking with the Holy Spirit is a daily relationship. We're about relationships this way and this way. Walking with the Spirit is not a one-time moment. It's not a spiritual high or a Sunday or a revival experience only. It is a daily, ongoing relationship. I would illustrate it this way, that it's like going for a walk with someone. What happens? You don't go for a walk and go, see you later. You know, you want to go for a romantic walk with your spouse, whoever it may be, and you go, see ya, I'll see you at the end of the walk. No, the whole idea is that you walk together. You match the pace, and you stay aware of them, and you make adjustments, by the way. You don't sprint ahead, and you don't lag behind. You stay close. I tell couples when they're going out the middle aisle, when we have one for weddings, you came in down different aisles, but you're going out side by side, shoulder to shoulder, and that's how you do life. Yeah. A lot of marriages nowadays, it would be better to take them out separate aisles, I mean. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, they come as they are and leave as they were. Not good. Just a thought. Not you. I'm not talking about you. I've only done a few hundred weddings since I've been here these 30 years. You stay close. And that's a rough picture of life in the Holy Spirit. That will take you further than you've ever been. And that walk will take you from here all the way to heaven, your eternal home. It looks like this practically. You not only believe in him, you not only recite the Apostles' Creed or pray the Lord's Prayer, you keep walking with him, and that is present active faith right now, always. I gave you some suggestions last week, a week before, and they weren't a mandate. They weren't specifically written in God's word, but they're inferred there for sure that you begin your day by acknowledging him. Like Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you know, all your ways acknowledge him, and he will do what? He will direct your paths. That's a Holy Spirit passage, and that was in the Old Testament. And by the way, that doesn't mean you can't spend time with the Lord at different times or your less spiritual view do it at night, but is it okay to spend the first part of your day with thoughts of him? Invite him to direct your day since you're living in me. I don't want to resist you and I want to fight today. Lord, you know better than I where I'm going to be and what I'm going to be facing today. But I'm going palms up right now and I'm inviting you to direct my day. And you say, and part of this is I'm going to pause before I react, before I send that email or that text. Instead, I'm going to choose a response. You know what my response is many times? I don't send it. Just a thought. Check your thoughts, as I started out with that quote. Check your thoughts and your attitudes and your words, your actions, and say basically, Lord, examine my heart, and don't tell me what I think. Show me what you see and show me what you think. That's how that walk begins. So we begin that journey, that relationship. That's what we're in now. But the being led part can get really dicey. Because you know what that involves? A word that we're allergic to, surrender. And whenever I say surrender, I hope you think automatically palms up. Because what is that? That's the posture of receiving. That's the posture of giving. I'm afraid many times we live like this, offensively or defensively, but I want you to think palms up. So verse 18 said, the big if, but if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. That's good news. Because the Spirit, capital S, never forces you and me to do anything against our will. Do you understand that? What was a kid's song I used to sing? Me and Jimmy Guy used to duet. Little kid. He does not make you basically go against your will. He just makes you willing to go. How has the Holy Spirit ever made you willing to? Yeah. But it's still your choice to respond. The Holy Spirit leads you as you allow, but he will never force you. Because he will never trump the great love gift of our free will. That's what love does. Freely receives and freely gives. The Holy Spirit will prompt you and nudge you, convict you, draw you, but he will never override your free will. He will not accuse you and he will not condemn you either, by the way. So that's why the Bible says test the spirits, because it could be a small s instead of capital. I often refer to the GPS navigation system. Most often, it gives clear directions like, turn here, dummy. Oh, that's just our version. Go there. Don't go that way. What are you doing? Make a U-turn. Don't you hate that one? Especially in Ohio where it's not legal at points. But you can choose to ignore that. I've ridden with people who get very agitated and talk to that GPS like they're a person. And you can choose to ignore it and you can go your own way, thinking you know best or better. And that's precisely when and about when you'll hear something like this, recalculating. Do you know what that's code for? You're lost and you won't admit it. That's what it means. We can relate to that, and we're thankful for GPS. A lot of you could never get home today if it wasn't for the GPS, and you know who you are. You couldn't tell me the directions to your house. Well, you go down there at this oak tie here and this big rock and you turn right now. You don't know the streets. GPS does. But could it be that some believers who have said yes to Jesus are living their lives in a perpetual spiritual recalculating mode? Just asking. Not you, but, you know, somebody you know and love. Because they keep ignoring the wind of the Holy Spirit. It's not that he's not moving or speaking. But then they wonder why they get off-road and in the deep weeds and get stuck in the mud. I don't have an exhaustive list, but what we're trying to say is that when you say yes to Jesus and yes to the Holy Spirit's control, the yes continues. It's yes, dot, 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 to infinity. You live in it. You walk in it. Here's some surrender signs or some spirit signs that could be a positive. When the wind of the Holy Spirit is blowing and we're in step and we're listening, there's times we're going to be convicted, we're going to feel conviction, but that is not condemnation. Do you understand that? There's a big difference there. Feeling conviction from the Holy Spirit is a key that you're alive spiritually. The Holy Spirit, I want to say it again, emphatically, never condemns you. Never does. There'll be a great sensitivity to sin, greater, small, whatever, however you view it, something you've not done or something you have done. You're going to be sensitive to that and quick to talk to God about it. You're going to be aware of listening for the wind to blow, watching the wind blow. You're going to sense promptings to act or to speak or to not. You're going to have a deep, deep longing, a great desire to please the Heavenly Father. It's just like breathing. And in that, you're going to have a growing desire to obey. I often give homespun illustrations. I apologize for those of you who've been listening to me for 31 years, and you've heard every story that I can think of or make up by now. No, I try to make sure they're true. But, you know, when I'd give my mother a card, like for Mother's Day, and Mushy and I love you and all that, she'd always get me aside doing the dishes or whatever. We'd have these little talks, and she would say something like this: "The cards are okay, but I don't want you to tell me you love me as much as I want you to show me you love me." And she said, one of the major signs of that is if you love me, you will quickly obey me when I give you a whatever. Command an order. Oh, she just knew how to take the life out of a Mother's Day card or something. Ugh. You know? Talk about a killjoy, a wet blanket. Man, I was trying to atone for some sin that she didn't know about that I had done, you know? Didn't work. Rapid obedience. In other words, that might look like this prayer. Holy Spirit, what do you want to say to me? Where's the wind blowing today in my life? What do you want me to do today? Where do you want me to be? What needs to change in my life? Or how can I grow more to be like Jesus today? Yes, in the middle of this difficult season, in this conflict. How can I bring glory to your name? That's the purpose we live for. When he speaks truth, the Spirit learn and practice rapid obedience. Because you know what? Delayed obedience is still a form of resistance. Would you agree? Homespun illustration you may not relate to, but we were in the yard. I think somebody was there. I don't remember who we were talking to on the front porch. And Charlie Brown, that's our beloved dog. Have you ever met Charlie Brown? I need to use him. I should have. Wouldn't it be great if he'd just come out right now? But he has a thing about buggies and horses. And he goes crazy. We're in the car. So Dixie and I usually hear the clippity-clop, clippity-clop of a buggy coming up the hill there on Fry Road. But we didn't hear it for some reason. And all of a sudden, he just went crazy. He started snarling and barking, and he started charging the road. And I wasn't confident that he was going to stop. But I said, "Charlie, no!" And I don't raise my voice at him very often. And you know what he did? Here's what he did. He was snarling. He went... is that true, Dixie, or am I making it up? So maybe the reason our kids and grands don't do U-turns is because we raise our voice too often. Just a thought. But you know what? What I'm trying to say is that we're walking the Holy Spirit. It's not that we won't necessarily start off in a bad direction, but when the Holy Spirit speaks, when the wind blows, we'll do the Charlie Brown U-turn. Am I making a bit of sense today? He's not looking for perfection. He's looking for a surrendered heart. That's the point. Delayed obedience for him could have meant that he got run over. And in our lives, lag time can mean it could be damaging or deadly. A partial surrender is still resistance. I say it again because I've often said in stewardship series that he must be Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. So what he's after in this surrender, palms up, means unconditional surrender in everything. It's the everything that causes us problems sometimes. And then it says, thirdly, be filled. We are so Holy Spirit dependent. Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's suggesting for sure that when you say yes to Jesus and he comes into your heart and life to live, but the Holy Spirit comes in too, that doesn't mean that he is necessarily filling you, because there's some things that you need to get emptied out to give him room. You may be filled with capacity because you've got so much other junk in you, but he wants space. He wants room. Make room. We sing, I will make room for him to do whatever he wants to. Is that the song? Is that how it goes? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why would we settle for a little when he wants to give us a lot? Holy Spirit filling is not a one and done experience. We believe there's an act of surrender, salvation surrender. Absolutely. The original language means, and I can hear my pastor JK saying this over and over, it means being filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, why do we understand that? Don't you wish you could just fill up your tank with one tank of gas and with the prices now and drive forever? But you can't. You got to keep filling it up. Why? So you can move forward. If we understand that, how true is that in our spiritual life? Being filled with the Holy Spirit. It means to live spirit purified, spirit influenced, spirit directed, spirit controlled, spirit powered. We sometimes sing, is there anything in my life that doesn't honor you tonight? Lord, speak to me. I talked about the wind and the sail last week, and some of you can't get over my homespun illustrations that I've been using, but I said a fact of it is the wind blows. No wind, no blow. No blow, no wind. Agreed? Because blowing, that's what the wind does. If there's wind, it has to be blowing. When a sailboat's out to sea and the sail has to be raised to encounter the wind, no sail means no movement, at least not in the way you want to go. Drifting. Half sail means limited movement. A full sail means full power. I'd talk to you about a radio show I listened to as a kid called Sailor Sam, but hardly anybody would know what it's about, so I'm not going to, but they used all that jargon. Get your sail hoisted so you can encounter the wind of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is always ready. The Holy Spirit is always moving. Check your sail. Is it up and open? Is it catching the wind? Or are there some wind blockers in your life, like pride, lack of humility, or a lack of confession, or distractions in your life, or self-reliance, or disconnection, or compartments that you don't allow him to enter? I just heard the story again, though you've heard it, I'm sure, about Titanic, and the reason they claimed that was going to be unsinkable because they had these various compartments, and they said a couple could be severely damaged or how many, but it would float. But they were absolutely wrong. When it was discovered a few years ago on the bottom of the sea upright, they saw that one was compromised, and it took the ship down with how many lives? Thousands of lives. So Holy Spirit, show me. Stay filled and fluid. Getting God's word in you. Just some suggestions. And asking the Spirit every day to search your heart, especially in tough situations, and to reveal truth. Confess any sin quickly. Pray and listen. Respond in obedience. Every act of obedience, I want to tell you, it'll keep the sail filled with the wind of the Spirit. That's what obedience does by choice. Verse 22, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in your lives. Has anybody heard this before? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There's no law against these things. Were any of those bad? In our vision frame, in our measures, that's one of the last things we talk about, being genuine, and that's what this is all about. It's saying the fruit isn't manufactured. It's grown over time, in time, in fertile soil. It's not forced or fake. When our sail is hoisted and we're living in the Spirit and we're flowing in the Spirit, I want to tell you know what's going to happen? We're going to be bearing all-season fruit. A fruit tree doesn't strain to produce fruit. It stays rooted, receives rain and sunshine, proper nutrition, grows naturally, and in time, over time, fruit is produced. And that's true in our lives spiritually. Is there a question to ask for all of us today in the spiritual mirror? Is the Holy Spirit fruit? Is Holy Spirit fruit growing in my life? Is it observable to me? Is it observable to those who love me? To my neighbors in conflict? It's not about being gifted or busy or even doing good things alone. No, it is about growing. What's growing, I said, growing on in you as a child of God. Because remember, that's our identity. When we say, I'm an I believer. Well, finally, it's just keeping in step with the Spirit, as it says in 25. Let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part. Those are the two things I circle. Let us follow, that's a choice. Every part of our lives. Which part of your life can you leave him out of successfully or effectively? We march in step. Not ahead, it's like going for that walk, remember? Not ahead, not behind, not drifting, but staying in rhythm with him. The Holy Spirit brings alignment to our life. As Jesus prayed, not my will, but your will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Not when it's easy or tough, but all the time. I told you fairly recently, and I don't even remember when, but when I was at college and I was training for basketball, we had to run a timed mile to be in shape, to be on the team. And I went into training, and I found a guy named Kent Lamb, who is a champion cross-country runner and track runner, long distance. And you know what I did? I trained with him. I ran. He was always in front of me, but I tried to stay in his draft. I tried to stay close to him. And when I did that, I got in the best shape of my life ever, and I went faster and I went further than I ever had before because I let him set the pace. And I just did my best to stay close, where I could feel a little bit of wind, if you would. Well, if you're truly a believer and have said from your heart, yes to a relationship with Jesus, come into my heart, live in me, then the Holy Spirit, by the truth of God's word, is living in you. He's working on you, and he's moving through you. Is that okay? Is that okay? If he wants to do that, shouldn't we just give him total access? Why in the world wouldn't we? Aren't you tired of being in half control or a quarter control or whatever? So the challenge I want you to take away is this honest assessment. Am I walking with the Holy Spirit every day? What's he saying to me right now? And is there any area, Lord, that you want to point out where I've been resisting you? What is my next step of obedience? What action step do I need to take? And could we maybe pray this prayer as we stand together, please? Quietly. Could you repeat this prayer with me, after me, from your heart? Holy Spirit, I don't just want you in me. I want to walk with you. You set the pace. Purify my heart. Lead me. Fill me. Change me. Use me. I surrender fully to you. Be Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. And so may it be in our hearts and spirit. I believe in God, the Father Almighty. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He rose again. I believe. I receive. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Father, thank you so much for your faithful Spirit. The wind's always blowing, and even when we've been ignoring it for a time, it doesn't stop. And it's time for some of us to hoist the sail, first of all, by saying yes to a relationship with you, because we know a bunch of stuff in our head, but we've never said, Jesus, come into my heart and save me. I can't save myself, can't fix me. I give my life to you now and forever. Many of us have taken that step, but we've never come to a point of surrender and said, I'm palms up, I'm unconditionally. I invite you to be Lord of my life. You're Lord of all, but I invite you to be Lord of everything in my life. I want to live out that yes. I don't want to just point back when something happened. That's real, but I want it to be true now and moving forward. It's this kind of lie that puts marriages together and families together and brings healing. And Lord, our prayer is, have your way. Thank you that you're our Savior. Thank you that you are Lord of all. And I pray what we've confessed with our mouths would penetrate our hearts, and that we would walk daily in obedience and rhythm with your Holy Spirit. And I pray it confidently and thankfully that your Spirit's taking truth from this series and applying it to our hearts and lives and changing us. And may the fruit be evident this week of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all of those in self-control. Not for our glory, but for the glory and praise of your name. And everybody said, amen, amen.